We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to the ninth chapter, the fourth halacha, page Kuf Ayin Gimel. Asur ladur bishchunat baalei lashon hara. We're prohibited from living in a neighborhood. That's the neighborhood of people who talk lashon hara. And certainly, we're not supposed to sit down and listen to them. We're on page Kuf Ayin Gimel. Kuf Ayin Gimel. Even if a person thinks to himself, I'm not going to believe it. Gabriel, if you could pass me your book, I'll find it. There are two books connected here. So you're in the second book. We're in the first book.
See?
Here we go. First book. Proof. It's two books put together, that's why.
It's in the first one.
Yeah. We're in the first one. If you have such a fat amount of pages in the beginning, turn back. It's supposed to look like this. Okay? Asur is the first word in the paragraph. Yeah, we're in the second line of paragraph Dal. V'afilu en b'da'ato lekabel t'adavar, even if a person thinks, I'm not going to believe it. Kivan sh'matil z'nav lishmoa, being that a person hearkens his ear to listen, that's still prohibited. Kmo she'katavnu le'el, as we wrote earlier. So we're not allowed to live in that neighborhood. This is a quote from the Rambam. This is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That's what our sages teach us. Oy la rasha, oy lishchino. Woe to someone who's wicked, woe to his neighbor. And now we have a footnote. You see the two stars, we go down to the footnote. Umize nuchal lilmod. And from here we can learn. Dekol sheken sheyesh lizeher meod shelo likbo lo makom bevet hakneset uvevet hamidrash etzel baalei halashon. That certainly a person should not choose a place in shul or in the Beit Midrash, next to people who have a mouth, people who are going to chat with him and tell him, Lashon Hara, don't sit next to them. Ki milvad sheyargilu b'midatam hara'a, liyot gam hu mimeviyei hadibal b'nei adam. Aside from the first problem, that if you sit next to people who are always talking Lashon Hara, then they'll get their neighbors accustomed to the same habit. So, point number one, you end up, it rubs off. If the people around you are talking Lashon Hara, it rubs off on us too. Number two, you end up missing so many mitzvot, like saying Amen Yesh Meraba and Baruchu. That's a biblical mitzvah when we say Yesh Meraba. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of sanctifying Hashem's name, Kiddush Hashem. When we as a crowd say Yehi Shmei Rabbah, we're sanctifying Hashem's name. When we say Baruch Hashem Amborach as a crowd, we're sanctifying Hashem's name. Umi Lishmoa Kriyat HaTorah, you end up missing part of laning, part of the reading of the Torah. Chazrat HaShatz, you end up missing part of the repetition of Shemona Esrei by the Shaliach Tzibur. Vod Kam Avonot Atzumim, and there are a few more weighty transgressions. Kasher Be'arti Le'el B'Pticha Mitzvot Asei Zayin, as I explained earlier, take a look there. So that's point number one. They say that the wondrous thing about learning Chafetz Chaim is that he was a tzaddik, a rabbi sitting in the front of his shul. How did he know what was going on behind him? How did he know to give us all this practical advice of what happens by the people who speak? And all his examples are very down to earth. You see, he really was in touch, which is very wondrous. I don't know how you do that. I can tell you I don't do that. I sit in the front and I have no clue what's going on in the back. I really don't know. No, but I know how you lose touch. I don't know how you gain touch. I don't know how you sit in the front of a shul and know about the schmoozing in the back. I don't know. I'm saying, I don't know how he did it. Saying in his shul, maybe he was able to hear it. And in our shul, it just, you hardly can hear it. I don't know.
I don't know how long people have had societies against Lashon Hara and this and that. I mean, you know, I'm Israel's credit, even though as in my power, it's a hard thing. We do something. We care about it. As he said, in other places, I've heard if you can't say anything nice to someone, don't say anything. I mean, we have influenced a little bit, but I don't think there's society for people to get together
Chav Chaim goes on to point number three. So he says, first of all, in a shul, in a bet midrash, and if you have a set time to learn, be very careful at that time not to have people call you in for their shmooze fest, where they're going to tell you all kinds of slanderous things. Believe it or not, you could lose a lot of learning time by listening to people chatting and being a part of it. He says, and if you walk into yeshiva and the first thing you do is go to the coffee room and listen to people talk lashon hara, and then the remaining time, it's almost impossible to succeed. One's learning, Chazal say, if you want to succeed, there has to be a flow, there has to be a continuum. If a person learns, the Gemara calls it kiraim kiraim. He has tears in his learning. It's like a torn page. You learn, you stop, you learn, you stop, you learn, you stop. So that makes it almost impossible to succeed. There has to be a block of time, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, however much a person can concentrate. There has to be a block of time. Some people can concentrate 2 hours straight. Some people can concentrate 3 hours straight. You have Salvechik Shir, the shortest Shir, I think, was three and a half hours straight. That's how he gave shir. If you can concentrate, let's learn. If you can't concentrate, go to different shir. That was the learning time. So people used to have longer attention spans. When I first came to Machon Meir, our average class would be an hour and a half. And then as iPhones came out and people's attention spans got shorter, like SMS, give me a short quit. So we started dividing our classes. That's what we do today, where we have 20 minutes on one topic, 25 minutes on another topic. We don't stay focused on one thing for a long time. People have a very hard time to do that, and it's a weakness. Chazal say, you want to succeed in Torah, you have to be able to focus. Rav Halperin, who passed away, he's the one who has all the eyeglasses store, Halperin, that's his business. So he said once that when he learned in yeshiva, he could sit down on something and concentrate, I think, a whole day. Sit down and focus on one thing and just keep learning. So he used to be a wrestler. He was one of the professional wrestlers in this country. And then he was Chozer B'tshuva, and he took all his energies and focused them on learning. And that was part of his skill, that he was able to focus long-term on one thing. So that's a skill to develop. The Chafetz Chaim says, if we're part of the chatting committees, so then every few minutes someone comes and gives you the latest news, you lose concentration. I remember when the planes hit the World Trade Center. So I was in the middle of learning, and someone came over to me and says, you know what happened? And I said, no. And he says, a plane hit the World Trade Center. I said, I'm very sorry to hear that, and I went back to learning. And then 15 minutes later, someone came and said to me, you know, World War III is in the process of happening. Why are you learning? And I said, well, if World War III is happening, then that's what we have to do. What does the world need? It needs people. Needs people learning. And then I came to the realization that I might actually have to do something. Initially, I said, "What am I supposed to do? I don't have to do anything. This has nothing, you know, has nothing to do with me at this point." Right. There's nothing I could do. Nothing I should do. And then people asked for my help to verify if their loved ones were alive. I spoke English. So then I had to pick up my head from the Gemara, and I went to help people make phone calls and find out where things were holding. But when we're in yeshiva, we have an opportunity. What can I do about planes going into the World Trade Center? I could daven. I could learn.
It's already too late. Huh?
You could daven. I don't know if you remember that day, but as news was coming out, we started hearing about the next plane going in, and then the plane into the Pentagon, and then you start hearing there's another plane out there that they grounded all planes, and no one was sure who was behind it, meaning the United States thought it could be Russia attacking them, meaning there really was a thought at that time that World War III might be breaking out. Coming back to the Chafetz Chaim, so Chafetz Chaim says, when you're learning, so then you shouldn't break your learning. If you can concentrate, so as long as you can concentrate, concentrate. And if a person learns and breaks and learns and breaks, and every few minutes he's chatting, so then he's not learning. Now, in Machon Meir, we're a work in progress, okay? It could be that right now we could concentrate 10 minutes, 20 minutes. We have to know that's where we strive to go. When I used to have younger students, when I used to teach, 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds, so whenever they'd start chatting with me, I'd say, do we want to talk now? And if they'd say yes, I'd close my Gemara. And they'd say, why'd you close your Gemara? And I'd say, when we're learning, we're learning. When we're talking, we're talking. You want to talk, we'll talk. But let's not deceive ourselves and sit in front of an open Gemara, shuckling for 2 hours, schmoozing those 2 hours. If we need to talk, let's talk. Fine, so we'll talk. And the message was very important for the youngsters. This idea that when we're learning, we're not schmoozing. You want to schmooze, we could schmooze before. We could schmooze after. When I used to tutor younger kids, 11, 12-year-olds. So, every so often the kids would say, oh, I wanted to play soccer, now I have to learn. And I would always say, let's go play soccer. And almost every kid I taught had this one class where instead of learning, we'd play soccer. And by the end of the soccer game, they were like, let's go back and learn. And I'd always say, learning is a treat. Learning is a reward. You prefer to play soccer? Well, go play soccer. But we won't learn and sit here thinking, oh, I wish I could be playing soccer. If you want to play soccer, let's go play soccer. Chafetz Chaim says, Lashon Hara is a problem. Lashon Hara in Shul is a bigger problem. Lashon Hara in Beis Medrash is also a big problem. Lashon Hara when you're trying to learn is also a big problem. And at the same time, we have to realize that learning involves concentration and continuity. And so a person should try when he walks in to go focus, so that he could stay in his learning. If we walk into Beit Midrash in the first 15 minutes, we're chatting with Mr. A and Mr. B and Mr. C, when we sit down to learn, so Mr. A or B or C might have one more point to tell us. And as we're learning, they'll come by and tell us that one more point. Back to our footnote here.
Aside
from, there's another grave warning. Our sages say that if a person is in the middle of learning Torah and he could continue learning, he's focused, everything's going great, but he ignores his responsibility to learn and he says, let's go chat. So that's what the Mishnah says. Kmo shamu chazal. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Hashoneh, if someone is learning, v'posek milimudo, and he stops his learning, v'omer, and says, Manae ilan ze, what a beautiful tree that is. Manae nir ze, what a beautiful plowed field that is. So then the Mishnah says, it's as though he's given away his life. You're dealing with the most precious thing in the world, and you're saying, let me go look at other things. You're supposed to enjoy a beautiful tree. You're supposed to enjoy a beautiful field when it's time to enjoy a beautiful tree and a beautiful field. When you're in the middle of learning, you're supposed to be focused in the learning and not wandering in your thoughts. We'll expand on this later on. And again, this depends on a person's stage in their learning. There's a stage where a person needs more breaks. There's a stage where a person needs less breaks. We're talking within the range of what works for a person. There is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch that a person has to take breaks in their learning, so they shouldn't lose their sanity because of their learning. Learning Torah with continuity can bring a person to a point of losing their sanity. There's also the extreme level. So we have to know not to lose it. We have to know the balance, but we also have to strive to have continuity. Returning over to the next page, back to the upper section. If a person knows one of his students wantonly speaking Lashon Hara, tzich lachiko miito im u'edesh lo tilo al-chacha. If you know you can't rebuke them, so then push them away. He shouldn't be, you don't owe it to a student to learn Torah with them if they're going to repeatedly tell you Lashon Hara. Let them find a Rebbe who they listen to who will tell them they can't talk Lashon Hara. Sometimes even a Rebbe can't stop his student from saying Lashon Hara, and if he sees he can't stop him, so then he should tell him, go find a different Rebbe who you will listen to, and then you won't talk Lashon Hara to. V'im be'ezones nitpas b'chavuat ba'alei Lashon, and if it happens that a person gets caught up and he is with people who speak Lashon Hara, she'em medabrim Lashon Hara. So what are you supposed to do? And this is where we'll pick up in the next class. What do you do if you're stuck in a group? You're in a carpool, you got a ride, you're on a bus, you're in a group which is talking Lashon Hara. What should you do?